Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is The Independents. My name is Jason Rouse, alongside Mr. Ben Trimbo. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Jason.
Ben Trimbo, how's it going? You sound a little clumpy in the chest there, buddy.
A little congested.
Well, because we've been away for a little bit. We've been living our lives. And if by living our lives you define that as being seriously injured and sick, then yes, we have.
Yeah, not dying from sickness. That is definitely living, right?
We're living in the modern times. This is the Middle Ages. If this was the Middle Ages, Ben, you'd be long dead.
I would be. And, well, we would be talking about it on the podcast. So
I like to think that we would have invented the podcast. I think that we'd be two guys
sitting around a rock talking to air.
We're pretty smart guys. Ben, what gives? I know that you went away for a little bit. You tried to take a little vacation.
So it was my parents' 50th anniversary, wedding anniversary, and they wanted to go kind of do the Klondike Gold Trail, so the Yukon territories of Canada, and then up into Alaska for the gold rush period of the late 1890s. And it was a great trip. It was a lot of fun. But as you know, and I'm sure our listeners are familiar with, there are cesspools of germs on cruise ships and then on the big coach buses. And apparently a lot of people felt it was necessary that they go on these trips sick. And I unfortunately captured two different bugs at the same time, which made each bug's symptoms twice as bad because my body wasn't really sure which one to fight. So it was towards the last half of the trip, it was one of sickness where every night I would, or every day we would get up and travel to a new place, either by a plane, a train, or a coach. And but I'll tell you, man, I was so happy to land in Portland and just know that I was going to be able to convalesce on my personal couch.
Yeah,
I was so excited. I was just like, I'm okay that I'm still sick because I'm going to be sick in my home. Yeah. And I don't have to pack all of my shit up back into my luggage and then hop on some sort of vehicle for the day to the next destination eight hours later. So while it was a beautiful trip, and I have a ton of awesome photos because it was fall up there and it's beautiful country. Yeah, it's all last week I was recovering
from. And this week too, you're still not quite better. It's been about 2 weeks since you've been back almost, and you're still not. I mean, I'm looking at you. You look fresh, but you sound.
It's just that, I mean, the cold, it hit me, like I said, twice as bad because I had this flu thing before.
Yeah.
But it's all right. I'm happily mending, and I'm sleeping like a baby, which is always nice.
That's good.
Yeah, but tell me about you, man. I know that you were hobbling around for a while because you'd hurt your knee.
Well, yeah,
and you suddenly hear something new.
I didn't hear. Worse? I mean, yeah. Well, Ben, as you recall, near the end of July, well, it's been about 8 weeks now, exactly 8 weeks, that I had opening night of the last play I was doing, and I was tripped on stage and fell and injured my ankle and my knee and had the kneecap dislocated partially and severely sprained the ankle and the knee, and that's what I was told, and I went away.
Right.
A week later, so I went to my GP. He was on vacation. I had the substitute, and I said, my leg is pretty red and sore. He's like, you know, looks like you have a little infection. Take these pills. The rest is just a sprain. Well, what? But it's never gotten better at all. And so I've just been limping around, and I mean, doing pretty good on it. I can't take stairs very well. I'm slow, but went back to my doctor saying, like, this just isn't healing. Like, what's going on? Had an MRI done to reveal that my Achilles tendon is completely ruptured.
Wow.
Meaning it's torn and it's gone. Right. It's not there.
Right.
It's just split. And I've got, you can look down and see my foot. There's just fluid buildup all over the foot.
Swollen as hell.
And it's got moved up halfway up my leg. It's full of fluid and edema, which is just the swelling of the skin, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's pretty bad. So for 2 months, I've had this injury, he reckons, and because of exactly where it tore and the circumstances around it and the swelling, my foot has been numb this whole time. And so he's like, that's probably why you haven't felt a lot of the pain. But I felt pain if I step on it incorrectly. Because the Achilles helps aids and things like, you know, you can go up on your toes.
Right.
Or, you know, bends back. I'm not able to do that. If I ever attempt that, I do feel a burning sensation that will go up into my throat. So it looks like I'm going to have surgery probably soon.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty. I've gotten used to walking with a cane. Now I'm going to have to walk with crutches. which I ordered off Amazon the other day. Fantastic. They'll arrive today, and I'll be able to leave the house and be the guy in the credits for us. So it's been difficult. I've been in rehearsals for another play, and they've been extremely understanding about this, and we've actually worked a cane into my part very easily. And
that's good.
But I'm also in a position where there's a 90% chance I can't continue with this play. I mean, depending on what the surgeon says
right
in next week. And I don't want to leave them in the lurch. And I really have enjoyed doing this play. And I really enjoy the director a lot. And we've had a number of good talks where she's doing all she can to keep me in there, short of just having me in a bed, you know. So it's a tough situation. And
yeah, working wounded is hard.
It's really hard.
Especially in this industry, because it's a physical industry. You don't sit around. Well, I mean, maybe if you're writing, you get the opportunity to not have to, you know, go around and lug shit around. But
I tell you, I mean, we're facing, you and I, Ben, are facing this weekend. We're going out for, you know, a couple partial days to film some stuff. And it's going to be easy, but it still means that, you know, I've got to drive somewhere. I've got to get out. I've got to lumber in. I've got to sit down. The last thing we shot, I mean, I had the ankle, and I ended up just on a variety of couches and chairs everywhere we went. Someone had to drag a couch so I could lay down and elevate my foot. So, yes, that makes it, you know, I start looking for only locations with sofas inside so I can be, you know,
so when someone's
comfort.
Someone's doing a filmography on you and your history, and they're like, there was this time where a lot of your videos had just couches and sitting in them, Jason.
Man, it's a very comfortable. The comfort period. So that's where I'm at. So it's been, like I said, 2 months of this. So I've gotten sort of, it's funny how you,
acclimate.
You do, how you start building. Like I tend to only want to go out if I can. I live where I have to go up a flight of stairs to get to my place. And I try to do that once a day. So I will leave and I'm packed out for the day. Like, well, I try to, if there's meetings or appointments, I try to just not go home and make them, you know, logical. So I leave with several bags and I'm loaded down and I go down the stairs and I get in the car and I'll drive to these places. And I understand the beauty of the, God, I wish I had one of those handicap parking permits.
Yeah,
that would be fantastic. But, you know, you park and you sort of amble in and, you know, you wait around. So I just, because the flight of stairs isn't terrible, but it is going down. It just takes forever. Because I've got to go down sideways one step at a time.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly fearing of, you know, a fire that will come or the apocalypse and I won't be able to get down the stairs quickly.
Well, I hope that, you know, your surgery comes soon and fixes everything and you heal quickly and there is no fire or apocalypse in the meantime.
Because that's really going to get me down. That's really going to slow down.
You know, it's the low likelihood things that you got to worry about the most.
Exactly. Because I will be the first to go if that happens. But other than that,
you were working on a play last week that you were saying was very strong. What was that one?
Those
are a friend of ours, right?
Yeah. Our buddy Sean McGrath had written and was directing his latest installment of Bath Night, his sketch comedy show that he does once a year. And it's just a fantastic show. And I came on to just sort of run some errands for him and, you know, just be an extra set of hands because this was a big undertaking. It's just, you know, he's able to do a show like you would see at like ART or Portland Center Stage, and he does it in a nice theater, and he's doing it with four people, and he's doing it with sketch comedy. So he's got 90 minutes of material, and I tell you what, the costumes were phenomenal.
Nice.
I mean, sometimes you're just like, wow. And they weren't like, oh my God, look at those. You're just like, it's just perfect. Everything was perfect.
Nice.
Our buddy Jamie Hammond did the costume. She's just amazing. I mean, so simple and just perfect.
What was the name of the show?
The show's called Bath Night.
Bath Night.
It was just wonderful. And, you know, there was four people in the cast, and one of my really good and very old friends, Tony St. Clair, came in from Chicago to do it. And so, you know, I helped Sean out. We spent a few really late nights in my house making some little video transitions for it. And I got to see it a few times and film it a couple times. And saw it five times in total. And it was, each time was great. I mean, I can't tell you that. I don't think I've ever seen a show 5 times. Even the shows I've directed, you know, I've been in, you know, you're just.
Wow.
But I saw it 5 times and it was just every time I laughed. I laughed every single time. A few times ruining the video that I was taking of it. Because quite often I would stop looking through the viewfinder and just start staring at the thing and like, oh, and forget that they moved. Or a couple times on one night I was up on a catwalk and I kept leaning in, like watching it. So you would see me like leaning into the shot. So it was nice. So steep, but it was a great show. So I did that. You know, I've been quite busy and it's been, I don't know. It's been good and bad. It's hard to, you know, this love is, things. Yeah. We went to Seattle for Livewire, did Bumper Shoot.
Nice.
Which was fun. So it's been a busy time, and right. Like I said, you and I are gonna get together. And we're gonna make a little video this weekend for Livewire, and it's gonna be great. It's gonna be the second one we've made, a sequel to our masterpiece from a year ago. Where it's
so, you think these will become part of the Criterion Collection?
Yes, I do, and let me tell you why. One day, one of us will murder someone.
Oh, okay.
And that person will be famous, and they will put these on as a weird hidden special feature. The films made by the murderers. And then people will see. No, it's fun. The one we did last year was a lot of fun, and we'll do another. You know, it'll be fun. It'll be easy. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of couches at hand, a lot of comfortable chairs, because I need comfort. Because my foot looks like, I don't know, what does it look like?
It's terrible. It looks very swollen.
It's just gross.
It looks very uncomfortable.
It's not the best. It's not the best. I don't travel well. Ben had to come to me today.
It is, so you can hear the room because we're not in the garage.
You today. Can absolutely, we are in a live place.
At least there's no leaf blowers going on today.
No, but we've got the word.
There's some construction going
there's
on.
There's always construction going on around here, some light construction. And it's just, the other day, there was someone just throwing glass bottles into some sort of a metal bin, one by one, for about 2 hours, just choom, ping, I mean, and they all broke. Every once in a while, you would hear one that wouldn't break, and there would be a weird pause, and the next bottle that went in twice as fast, and you would hear a big break. It was just unnerving. It was unnerving. Anyway, but moving on. So Ben and I are both, we're wounded people, but we're trying to stay frosty. I don't know. What have you seen? Have you been to the movies lately? You seen anything good?
The last movie I saw was The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I saw that. What do you think of that?
You know what? You and I have talked about this many times. It was a fun summer movie.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it for that aspect. I didn't go into it with high expectations. And I was pleasantly surprised. I thought there were some pretty funny parts to it. It was pretty clever. I liked the cast. It looked great.
Yeah.
I think Henry Cavill, there's a part in the movie where he's been drugged. And he starts to lay down on the couch.
Yeah.
And he, you know, because he's like,
yeah,
this has happened to me before. And, you know, last time I bashed my head. And I'm like, that's just so brilliant. Yeah, that was such a clever,
it was a nice little moment
thing. You know, some of the parts were a little obvious. Like, you knew the guy was going to get fried in the chair.
Yeah.
Still, it was part of the charm. It was fun. And I really took it for what it was, a fun summer movie. And I didn't try to take it beyond that. And,
yeah.
And that helped me to appreciate
it. Yeah, I agree. When I went to see it, I was in a theater and I counted because I thought it was hysterical. It was myself. It was a noon showing. There were 18, it wasn't 20, it was 18 other people. They were all men. Me and 18 dudes, and all the dudes were separate. They were all individuals. No one was there as a team.
Huh.
And we were all spread out. Almost everyone, we're all munching popcorn. And then at one point, this woman comes in and kind of walks halfway down. And I was sitting off to the side and in the back. I saw like all these heads turn to look at her. And she kind of looked around like she was looking for someone. And then she kind of looked up at what was going on. And she asked someone, she goes, she was in the wrong theater. And she left. But me and the dudes.
How do you not read the sign, the big bright sign?
I tell you what, dude. People don't, they get down there, they get the lights, they get confused. There's a lot of doors.
I worked at a movie theater as a teenager. And I mean, we used to switch signs and stuff at night just to fuck with the morning crew. We used to switch the bathroom signs. So, I mean, that,
yeah.
You know, I it's okay when people screw up because of that. But Jesus, man, these are not small signs.
I know. And the at the theater we were at, they, you know, it's a big bright sign.
Yeah.
That's blinking. It says, I mean, people don't, I mean, I don't know. I've been in a situation where you just don't look. You're thinking about other things. I don't know.
Sure. That could be the case.
But, you know, I'll work screenings and people, you know, I'll say, we're in the IMAX theater. Which one's that? I'm like, well, it has a big blue IMAX sign right there. That's going to be the IMAX. And I guess really, maybe there's more than one. They don't know. But people get very nervous and they don't want to make the wrong, they don't make the wrong choice. But sometimes it's like, dude, I've never walked into a long theater and I never will. I've also seen a couple big movies lately at screenings. I was able to see both in IMAX 3D Everest and The Walk. And both underwhelmed. Everest that's especially was just, it felt like a really bland documentary. Like,
really? Yeah. I mean, they're just like, I see people dying left and right and falling down the mountain. But it was all like kind of expected.
It was just, I mean, it's the thing. It's like both of these movies are based on true events. And like one of the best examples of a true event movie, All the President's Men is the best. You know what happens in that movie. And it's absolutely spellbinding. It is so tense, that movie. And then, like, Apollo 13 is another great one.
That was a good one.
But, my God, the tension in that movie.
Right.
But you know, logically in your mind, they live.
Right, right.
But, dear sweet Moses, you don't know. And in Everest, well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you're watching it, and it was just this so dispassionate. I just was really... And... For a 3D movie, and on a mountain, there were not a lot of shots that I went, holy fuck. And when the dudes...
Did they actually shoot it in 3D or did they just do it?
They shot it in 3D.
Okay.
And then The Walk, which is the new Robert Zemeckis movie, which is sort of based on the Oscar-winning documentary Man on Wire, about the man, the Frenchman Philippe, who walked across, who hung a wire between... the World Trade Towers and hung out there for a while in the early 70s. That movie, you know, had some, I was pretty anxious during that sequence. The 3D is pretty good and they just keep flying the camera up and around him. Yeah. And you're like, oh, you're okay.
Did it feel gimmicky or was it,
I think most 3D, unless it's done by a few people, is pretty gimmicky. Yeah. There was a couple shots of things like flying down at you, but I got to tell you, it's not like the old 3D with the old cheap 3D glasses where things really looked like it was coming at you.
You know what? One of the things I enjoy is going back and watching movies, older movies that they didn't have, obviously they couldn't do the special effects, right? So they couldn't just build a shot in a computer. Mm-hmm. So they had to be creative with what they did with their camera. And I sometimes find that is so much more effective emotionally from the viewer or what I'm viewing than like this, you know, leaving nothing to the imagination shot.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that, and obviously many people have talked about the overabundance of special effect shots. And I think that, you know, it's desensitizing people, but I think I want to see, you know, the pendulum swing the other way where we've got directors and shooters who are saying, I'm going to use more of a minimalist approach. I'm going to leave it up to the viewer's mind to come up with, you know, these situations and scenarios and let people come up with their own. It's just like, when you're writing and you don't want to give too much information on the characters, too much exposition. So you just hint at a couple of things and you let people's imaginations do the rest because people are intelligent, you know, and they'll come up with something that's scarier or worse than you will by explaining them 10 times out of 10. So I really want to see that. I want to see that pendulum swing back and see some more minimalist filmmakers come out where they really know how to use a camera. Like Hitchcock really knew how to use a camera. Just really know how to frame a shot or to do a move or to place a camera. That leaves a lot of stuff, you know, up to you and you build your own tension. Yeah. You know?
I agree. That's really well put. I mean, yeah, because I don't think in The Wire, I mean, he can put the camera wherever he wants. And that's not as interesting as you know, a movie like It Follows, where that's made on a low budget, but it looks phenomenal, and it's creepy. It does everything it needs to do and more. And they didn't have money for a bunch of crazy shit.
Right.
You know? Yeah, so it's been, you know, I haven't seen a lot of things this summer that I really love. It's been sort of a bland summer for me.
Yeah, I was going to go see a few movies, and I went out of town, and that was half a month, and then I was sick, and that was the other half of the month, so I'm a little behind, but I wanted to see the new Mission Impossible. Have you seen that yet?
I saw it. It's okay.
Is it you want to see it in the theater sort of movie, or is it just wait till it comes out?
I think you can wait and see when it comes out. I was so excited for that to come out because the last one I just loved. It was so good.
Yeah.
And this one just seemed to be this, like, the pace was a little too fast. Like,
really?
It's almost
too,
like,
frenetic, huh?
Like, they had a huge script, and they're like, we're going to play everything at slightly faster speed. You know, we got to get it all so in there. And it was just a little wonky with some of the characters. And they just, when you change a sort of a dynamic of how a character sort of acts and relates to these other characters that have been established, you're just sort of like, well, why are you sort of cheapening this or weakening him? And there was just a lot kind of going on. Mm. Well, the last one was so well paced and so well done. And this one, you know, you still have some spectacular sequences and certainly, and I really enjoy everybody, but this one, and then it felt like just a big setup for like it really felt like the second part is going to come out next week.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it really left you with like, we're going to make another one of these right away. And then like, I heard like subsequently that they're rushing into production, like probably next year on the next one, which is interesting, which they probably should keep it going. But I thought, you know,
well, if they're going to do that, why don't you shoot them at the same time like they do with the mega pictures? You know, I mean, because obviously these movies do well when they come out. It's not like they've been fucking them up. Like, people enjoy them. You and I both enjoy them. Yeah. So I
thought that was okay. What else are you looking forward to seeing?
Now my mind's blank. I did see that the new Fantastic Four movies on at the cheap theater, and I thought I might go do that because I can watch it for $3.
Sure.
I've heard it was just terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad
when the director is pointing fingers, like, basically opening weekend.
Yeah.
Like, they would let me do this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be a bad movie. Yeah.
And so this guy's done for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of, well, he did the movie, where the kids find the alien rock. What was it called?
Skylight? No, not Skylight.
What's that weird name? Why am I totally blanking on it? Anyways, where the three friends they get superpowers.
Yeah, fly around in Seattle.
And that was a reasonably
I enjoyed that movie.
So it makes you wonder at what point did the wheels fall off the car when he was making Fantastic Four? Because in all rights, that should have been a brilliant movie if you do it right. Because it's a very interesting team, and I personally enjoyed the first two movies with Jessica Alba and Chris Evans, and you know, it's interesting. So they wanted to go kind of this darker route, and I'm okay with that. But I haven't seen it yet. I obviously we'll all attend it and form an opinion on why it's so terrible.
I mean, I really Chronicle.
Chronicle. I knew it was a
Chronicle.
Yeah.
I was interested in seeing it, and then the reviews really pushed me off. And usually, for a dopey, superhero movie, I'm going to go see it regardless. But that one, it performed so poorly.
Right.
And I was like, wow, how could this?
Do you want to go to the cheap theater and watch
it? I might go to the cheap theater. We'll limp in there together.
Yeah.
And deal with it, because how bad could it really be? How bad could it really be? Well, what do we have coming up? What's coming up for you?
Nothing. And that is a topic, an issue that you and I were discussing before. I have had several jobs fall through, and now I am starting to research moving to another city, because Portland is a not fun market right now, I guess is the best way to put it.
I told you that if you wanted to go hunt lions, there would be some blowback. If you want to be a lion hunter, they will come back and they will be pissed. It's tough out there, man. It's tough. Like, I'm thankful for my little gig at Livewire, and that'll, you know, one day it has to go away, and then I'll go and live with my mom.
Right, right.
And with Ben and my mom in a hilarious apartment in Aloha.
And then we'll write a sitcom about it.
It'll be great.
Yeah, it'll air on public television.
Me and Ben and my mom living our dreams and keeping things fun. It's terrible. Well, Ben and I are going to film this weekend. We're going to make another wonderful little 3 minutes of joy to raise money for Livewire Radio.
Potential Criterion Collection.
Potential somewhere on there.
Yeah.
Before the killing streak. We appreciate you coming and listening to us. It's been a while for us. Getting back into between our torn Achilles and our multi-bug
or travel.
Alaskan adventure.
Yes, yes.
But we're happy that you're here listening to us, and we're going to be back next time with more drivel. For Ben Trimbo, my name is Jason Rouse. You can follow Ben on Twitter at
Ben Trimbo.
You can follow me at Jason_Rouse. And I love you. And please take care of your tendons, because they let you walk. And don't be like me on horrible crutches, stuck on couches.
Right. It's a tough sight to see. I'm actually trying to face the other way so I don't really have to look.
He's already thrown up twice. Goodbye, everybody.